Our world is full of sound. Just pause for a moment and listen. White noise fills our ears 24/7. Because of this, we've become very good at tuning certain sounds out. Maybe too good? Doug Quinn is a sound artist, and he's trying to tune certain sounds in. He wants to hear and record sounds we don't consider, like the sound of a spider sucking the blood out of an insect, or the sound of a tree falling in the forest. Doug Quinn took Anne Strainchamps on a round-the-world listening expedition of these sounds we don't consider.
So, Doug, what are we hearing here?
The sounds that you're hearing are recorded underwater using a hydrophone and underwater microphone in Bristol Bay in Alaska. And what we're hearing are the gonging sounds and teeth clacking from walruses. These are males generally displaying. And the display has a visual component in the surface, but they dive and they make these beautiful, resonant, full gonging sounds. And this wind-up that you hear with the teeth clacking, they're not...
So that's teeth? I keep wondering, what is that tapping, banging sound? That's their teeth?
Yeah, they're a whole percussion ensemble. To me, it's sort of almost like gamelan in the range of sound that we hear. And you can hear definite sort of percussive phrasing, particularly in the teeth clacking as they ramp up and reach a crescendo and stop. And it's a very, very, very powerful sound. And these are many, many walruses recorded near Round Island, a walrus sanctuary off the coast of Alaska.
So how did you capture this sound? What did you have to do to record it?
I was there for a week, and they had all taken off from their haul out on the rocky beaches of Round Island. And just one evening, about 11 o'clock, we could see them coming back, and so got into a Zodiac inflatable boat and headed out with a hydrophone in hand and just lowered it about 30 feet and listened.
It's kind of amazing to think what a rich world there is under the ice in Antarctica. There's another incredible set of sounds that you recorded of Weddell seals kind of calling to each other.
Yes, this is, I think, one of, I consider this a gift in a way, both the quality of the sound and for sheer musicality. I was really stunned. And I think one of the interesting aspects of sound with the recordings of the Weddell seals is that my first introduction to them sonically was listening to their calls and very powerful chug sounds. They have a wide vocabulary of sounds to draw from. More than 40 calls have been identified. And you can feel it through 8 feet of ice in your bunny boots. So feeling that power, I mean, the decibels are 180 decibels, some of the signal levels, which think of a very loud rock concert and then some.
They don't even sound quite biological, do they? Doesn't it sound like something you'd imagine hearing in outer space?
Exactly. They're so evocative of things we've come to know through music or, outer space. When I first heard it, I thought of classic electronic music from Karlheinz Stockhausen in the 50s, old analog electronic music and the richness of these tones. I often tell people, for all the computers and synthesizers we have, somehow I'm never quite prepared for what I hear in the natural world.
Somehow thought it would be pretty desolate in Antarctica, and yet, you know, you found these rich sounds, many of them recorded actually under the ice, but there are also some recordings you made just of the ice itself, which I guess somehow it hadn't occurred to me that ice itself would make noise.
That was one of the joys in ice. People say, well, what are you going there? There's nothing there. But on the contrary, it's teeming with life along the coastline and along the sea ice edge, which is where I spent most of my time. The recording that you're listening to here, it has a lot of noise, or what appears to be static, and you have to think of millions and millions, if not billions, of bubbles from brash ice floating around the surface as that melts. Think of ice in a glass melting, and multiply that. Then you're hearing the groaning of icebergs as they either turtle or flip over or rub up against each other. So all range of sound, from sort of pitched material, again the groaning, to these explosions when they break apart, and then the brash ice percolating away.
You know, I think one of the great gifts of listening to some of your recordings is it really hits you so powerfully that the world is alive. I mean, it's hard to think of that as an inanimate thing making that kind of roaring, groaning noise.
Yes, it is that you realize when you take the time to listen, which almost seems a luxury in our fast-paced lives, that everything is in constant motion around us. The air and sound is around us all the time in varying degrees, some of it very subtle and some of it extraordinarily powerful, from glaciers to wind to volcanic eruptions to the delicate sounds of birds and insects. So I think the world is always alive. We can never turn it off or tune it out, really. What emerges for me after long periods, and again, if you spend 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day doing this, you begin to focus on subtlety. If you can still your mind enough to not be thinking about half a dozen other things competing for your attention at any given moment, you begin to become sensitive to very subtle shifts in pitch, for instance, or frequency, a bird singing near the ground, a low booming sound of a tinamou or a dove, to a songbird high in the canopy, and begin to see a whole matrix of interaction between species as they occupy a very unique habitat. So the act of slowing down opens you up for a broader sense of what's out there in terms of rhythms, how loud or soft things may be, and also the time of day. The passages of the day bring different players into what amounts to a symphony for the day.
Mm. So will you walk us through one of your recordings? There's a recording you made in the Amazon, for instance. To my ears, it simply sounds teeming with sounds, but I'm curious to know what you hear.
What you're hearing here is a recording that was made at canopy level, meaning about 150 feet up in the air, treetop level. And this is just as the sun is breaking. And what you're hearing are howler monkeys calling to one another. I always think of this as announcing the dawn, but also checking in with each other, making sure everyone made it through the night. Their sounds almost remind me of a cannon that's joined by different troops in different locations for miles around. And there are many, many species of birds they join the dawn chorus. I think in the morning, when the air is moist, sound tends to travel further and retain its shape more. And as the sun burns that moisture off, most animals quiet down a little bit, and then the insect players take over. And this recording has that wonderful transition from the first flush of a dawn chorus with the howler monkeys and birds, and transition into the period when the first insects ratchet to life.
Oh, I love that sort of droning sound that they make.
It's very deep and resonant, and for such small creatures, they do have a big voice.
That is the other incredible thing. I mean, you've been really interested in bird calls, too, and it is extraordinary to realize what rich and incredible sounds these tiny little creatures can make.
Absolutely. I got into this through a passion for just listening in general, but very much inspired by the work of Jane Goodall and John Cage, and I'm fond of telling people I've been vocationally challenged ever since. But with that said, I entered into doing field recording with a real passion and interest in primate communication, and spent a good deal of time chasing various primates around the forest and realized, boy, there's all this other beautiful and wonderful activity. And so you go after one thing, but when you start paying attention, a lot of it is revealed to you if you are indeed mindful in the moment. And so birdsong, it's a natural. One thinks of wildlife, and they're the planet's most wonderful singers in a way. We're listening to the tui bird from New Zealand, an indigenous bird, also known as a parson bird because of its black plumage and a little white tuft under its chin. These birds are infinitely curious and have a lot to say for themselves. One of the things that you can really hear in this recording is, because it's so close, I was only about 5 feet away from the bird as it approached me, but you can hear the ability of this bird to sing multiple notes at one time through their voice box, which is called a syrinx. Unlike our voice box, where we can do one tone at a time, they switch the airflow over these two parts, two chambers in the syrinx, and just produce this wonderfully dense dance of sounds in their vocalization.
Sort of about silence. We haven't talked about silence, and yet in some ways I would think that listening so deeply to all the sounds in the world would make you all that much more sensitive to silence and maybe even make you value silence more.
We're not comfortable with silence, that is, our own silence, because the world is never silent, but our participation in it can be one of a quiet observer. We live in a culture of anticipation. Everything's about the next thing, and we tend to fill our lives. If you look at public spaces like restaurants, they're filled with sound. They're filled with music, not necessarily of your choosing. It's as if we're trying to drown each other out at every turn. So I think it becomes difficult for us to carve out time without thinking that we're somehow wasting time by simply being, simply sitting. And you don't have to go off to the Antarctic, or you don't have to go to a tropical rainforest. This can happen in your own backyard, basically. I think of Antarctica, again, as probably the quietest place on the surface. On a still day, you cannot hear anything except your own pulse. And that's a pretty powerful experience, because it's rare in our lives that we have that kind of opportunity to find the inner stillness that becomes a way of looking at silence or understanding or hearing silence.
Doug Gwynn is a sound artist and designer. He's also a professor of audio at Syracuse University. Anne Strainchamp spoke with him.